the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Want to thank Brother Hall for those spirited songs this morning. You know, we may not have many voices, but the voices we do have are quality voices. And we want to just, for us all to consider that singing is just as important part, just as an important part as, of the service as the rest of the steps that we take. So when you're asked to sing, please give it your best. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing, and I'll reread them again. From the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." This morning, we're going to talk for a moment or two on rejoice in Christ because he lives. Let us go to God in prayer. O wonderful and most holy Heavenly Father, we have been blessed by the best blesser of all because you are the blesser of all. And we thank you, O Lord. We thank you for this church. We thank you for all of the churches of Christ that hold up the bloodstained banner. We pray for our leadership. We pray for our membership. We pray for all families that are in the church this morning, Lord. We pray that for those who are sick and not able to be with us, that they may be able to be with us at the next appointed time. We pray for those who are without, those who might be in need this morning, for you already know what they have need of, and we're just relying on you, Father, to bless them with the need, the things that they need. Please, Father. Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones most recently, and we pray that you continue to give them strength that they may survive. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all the things you do for us, but most especially, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died, went to his grave, and was resurrected that he may come back and come back to heaven to be with you, O Lord. We're so thankful. We pray and ask you, Father, to bless those who are behind prison bars. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would give them strength to make it through. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in need this morning. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are in the danger and the disaster zones all around the world. We know that it is you, Father, who can fix everything that might be wrong with them, with that picture. We're so thankful, O Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us and given us this opportunity to be here today. We're praying for our politicians that they may not make any rules or regulations that would hinder us from serving thee in the way of we serve thee, which is in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Lord, for everything you do for us. And we ask all of these blessings and more in the name of Jesus. Let us all say amen. Rejoice in Christ. He lives. There's a joyfulness in being a Christian. When we realize all the benefits that come along with being a Christian, we should rejoice. Some may say how they may miss their old lives, but it is far better to miss it than to be a part of it. In today's text, we find some account, questions asked, and an account of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be glad of a few things about this account, for it tells us it wasn't a maybe resurrection. It wasn't a perhaps resurrection. It wasn't an imaginary resurrection, but it gives us a positive and certainty of the facts as presented. The Bible always states the facts, and we should be willing to accept it as the Word of God. We should rejoice that Christ is alive. Amen. The Word of God presents the testimony of the angels to the women who came to the gravesite or his tomb to seek him. In Matthew 28 in verse number 4 and verse number 5, we find the angel speaking to the women as they approach the tomb early on Sunday morning. They expected they were going to find a dead Savior to worship, but therefore we need not worry about the Master, because the Master is not dead. Amen. We serve a God who is the living God, and a God we can be assured that he's alive and well. The angel is not the only witness we have in God's word. There are also the guards in Matthew 28 and verse number 4 who became fearful when they found out Jesus was gone from the tomb. He was resurrected. When we come to church on Sunday morning or to Bible class on Wednesday night, and let me remind you that we do have Bible class on Wednesday night, when we come to either one of those two services, we can be sure we are learning of a risen Christ, not a dead Savior. We look to Jesus for all of our soul salvation. We worship him because we want to be sure as we travel through this path called life. And we can be sure Christ is alive. Even the disciples saw him in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. In John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20, go over there with me if you will. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. In other words, he proved to them that he had been crucified, but yet he was up and alive and moving about. He presented proof without a doubt that he was raised from the dead. Still, he was seen by others, including lastly by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and chapter 15 and verse number 8, where the Bible says, then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. Christ is not dead, church. He is alive and well, and rest assured his salvation is real. It is a real salvation. We should rejoice and be glad, for he ascended. We should be glad that Christ ascended from the earth to go back to heaven, where he is working for us still. What is he doing for us? He's preparing a place for us, according to John 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He is watching over us. He is an advocate for us. He stands up for us when we need some standing up for, according to John, 1 John 2 and chapter 1. 1 John 2 and verse number 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, write I unto you that sin not, and if you are, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father in Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is also watching over us. He helps us to do things we need to get done. Do you remember how that Paul asked the Lord to remove a thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians 12? Well, after asking the Lord, the Lord answered him. When we have problems, we go to the Lord in prayer asking for relief. But sometimes the answer is not what we're looking for. Well, here in these few verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find Paul ran into that situation. The Lord in his wisdom did not remove the thorn, but instead he gave him grace to bear. Now, was Paul satisfied? Well, watch what he said in verse number 9. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the powers of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, he accepted rather to have God's power, the power of God in him, than to be rid of his infirmities. According to Ephesians 3 and 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. In other words, church, put up with a few troubles, but keep your faith. Trust that God will give you strength to make it through. You know, it's funny how we were talking about this and somewhat on this subject in Bible class. We were concerned about why do we worry about things when there's nothing we can do about them anyway. We're concerned about just giving it over to God and leaving it with God. Now, I know sometimes troubles get heavy on us, on our minds, and we just think that, well, I can handle this better than God can handle it, but it's not so. It's not so. God made us. He knows us. God can tell you, he can number the hairs on your head. He can number the strands of hair that you have. He knows us all very well, better than we know ourselves. We should rejoice because God still lives. Look at the text, if you will, in chapter number 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Now, how can they say, Paul asked the question, how can you say that if Christ be not risen and Christ is risen? And the disciples were the ones that saw him. They were part of the witnesses that saw him. Look at chapter 15, verses number 1 through 4. This is proof of the gospel is still risen with Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. All of this is according to the scriptures. Since he left us his gospel, he left us his church, for all the world, he left us with his promise to return. We don't need to worry about whether the gospel of Jesus will be changed or redefined. See, man, when he comes up with the gospel, he every so often gives updates or changes they need to make. But God, with God, we don't have to do anything. We just need to just serve God as the Bible tells us to. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There is no resurrection. Are they going to, do some people ignore our living Savior? If that be the case, then all we preach is in vain, as well as our faith is in vain. Now I tell you, I don't feel like we preach in vain, and I don't feel that our faith is in vain. Let us thank God today, for Christ is the living Savior, and we are not out of favor by serving God, because we attend the church of Christ. It was built by Christ, purchased with his own blood, and I'm so glad today that we serve a master and a Savior that is still alive and issues the invitation that we all would come and find safety and rest for our soul. When we come to die, and I'll tell you, that's a for certain, and we surely will come to die, we have the righteous judge to judge us. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 17 reminds us that if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, in vain, and we are still in our sins. We could not claim salvation if Christ be not alive. But thank God that Jesus Christ is alive. Thank God for his death on yonder's cross. Thank God for his blood that flowed from his body down to the ground as he hung on the cross. Thank God for his resurrection early upon that first day of the week in Matthew 28 when the ladies went to visit his tomb. Thank God he was not there. Thank God for the angel tour guide who told them, he is not here, for he is risen. Thank God he left the grave and headed to Galilee. Most of all, thank God for the leaving of us with hope, and for the knowledge that he is coming back, and the promise that he is coming back for his own people, those that are believers, to take them with him. Thank God that he is going to start up at his church, where he is coming to get his people. I thank God this morning that Christ is still alive. I thank God this morning that we are not serving a false God. We are serving a real God, the one and only real God. There's no generic Lord that we are serving. We can't find him down at the local Walgreens in the bargain section. We can't find him in the bargain basement of our department store. We can only find him in his word through the Bible. Jesus is there, and he was always there. I thank God this morning that God gave us enough senses to understand and realize when something is false and something is not. I thank God this morning for Jesus for us that he gave us enough mind and the brains to use them and to think for ourselves. You know, when you read the Bible, there's something about the Bible that always shows up that you may not understand. But thank God you can always get some help. Somebody knows what that scripture means that you got confused about. Somebody knows something about what the Lord is trying to get us to understand. And thank God that you can pick up the telephone these days and call somebody. You can text somebody. You can email somebody. You can just get on and get on the phone and do a bunch of things now that you used to couldn't do. And me, I was the last one in the congregation probably to learn the text. I resisted it for as long as I could. I said, I'm not texting nothing. I said, I don't do that. And then the email came before that. And people say, well, can I email you? I don't get on the computer to email. I look for stuff on the computer, but not the email. But now I've learned it all, thank God. I'm not an expert at it, but I've learned how to do it all. I've learned the email. I've learned the text. I've learned how to send text without typing it if I want to these days. The phones will just listen to what you, of course it makes mistakes, but it'll listen to what you say and type it for you. But thank God that God gave me an open mind to say, well, I had my mind closed at first, but then I learned to accept that this is technology and we must move with it. Now, I notice some of the brothers, they use their phones and their tablets to follow the Bible. And that's all right if that's what you want to do. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I still like to read. When somebody says, ask me when I order something by phone, they say, well, you want me to email it to you? I say, no, I want you to send it to me. I still need to read sometimes. I still need to see what you're talking about. But thank God that when I read the Word of God, I can trust in the Word of God. I can not always trust all the different interpretations of the Bible. That's why there are so many of them, and you can go back and check on yourself. But one thing I do know is that God is alive and well, and He is in heaven working for us. And one day we're all going to have the need of meeting. We're going to meet Him in person. And I'll tell you, I was telling somebody that I've done 3 funerals in the last 4 weeks, including one on yesterday, which was a family member of mine. And I'll tell you something. God is not playing. You better get ready because your time is coming. You better be ready because your time is soon here. Now, I'm not prognosticating on anybody's mortality, but I'm simply saying God is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be ready. But whether we're ready or not, He will be here. So when I look back at the text, I think again on what it says. In verse number 15, it says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God, that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up. But you don't have to worry about that. When you come to the church of Christ, you are serving the real live in person, not in person, but the real live Jesus Christ. We're not serving someone that we just think about that's real, but He is real and He is alive, and He left the church here for us. Thank God for everything that Jesus stood for and everything He stands for. Thank God that He died on the cross. Thank God that His blood flowed down from His body to the ground. Thank God for His early resurrection upon the first day of the week when they went to His tomb. In Matthew 28, they went to visit the tomb, but God was not there. Thank God for all of the churches that He left, His churches. Thank God that we serve a just and a living God. And I know that it's difficult sometimes for some people to understand certain aspects of the gospel. But the gospel is real. Make no mistake about it. The gospel is very real. And everything that's in God's word that hasn't already come true is going to come true one day. And we need to prepare for our demise, because that's coming also. And you know how I know? Because I can see you. And if I can see you, that means we're alive. But that means we're going to die one day. And we may as well prepare. And just think about it for a moment, if you will. If we are going to die, why not prepare for it? Why not get yourself together for it? Why not Why not ask God to bless you that you may see him in peace? Because we are going to see him. We are going to meet him face to face. And when we meet him, would you rather him say, "Depart from me, for I know you not, you workers of iniquity," or would you rather for him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? I'll tell you which one I'd rather have. There you go. Thank you, Brother Lowe. I think most of us would prefer to have him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, the grave is not a joke. The grave is real. Death is real. Just as sure as life is real, so is death. When it comes to your dying, oh, I know what you think. We think when we go to a funeral that all funerals are just like this. Well, in a sense, they are. But one thing is different. Each and every one of us will be judged on our own merits. I can't, like I'm living now, I'm preaching my own sermon, my own eulogy right now. So are you. I can only say a few words over you in the end, but it's you who live your life the way you live your life. And you must get ready. But even though you may not be ready, it's still coming. It's coming, church. And I'd rather be at least ready than not ready. For if God desires to call us home today, would you be ready? If God desires to call our name, would you be ready today? Now, I know nobody wants to leave this world. Nobody wants to give up the enjoyment of this life that they have. No one wants to give up what they've accumulated. But I'll tell you something. It's going to come one day and all that you have will no longer be yours. Nothing that you have, I don't care how much money you've saved. I don't care how many cars you have. I don't care how many properties you have. I don't care how many clothes you have. God is going to reclaim all of that because it's his when you are gone. He gave it to you in the first place. And when he gets ready to take it back, he will do likewise. And all that will be left is your empty body in a casket. Only thing that you'll take out of this world with you is what you'll have on in the casket that goes in the ground and nobody will ever see it again. But thank God that we have an advocate with the Savior, our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God that he gives us hope that we can see him in face to face in peace if we live that life. Now, how is living that life compared to not living that life? Well, it's very simple. Either you obey and follow God with obedience or you do not. That means you're not obeying. Now, when the time comes for us to die, it's a simple matter. We're going to quit breathing. And that can happen just like that. And God will still carry on the world behind us. The world won't leave, but we'll leave the world. And when I consider the matter at hand, I want to serve a God that's real. And I know that my Savior lives. I know that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save me. And I haven't always been a church-going person. I've told you this before. There was a time when I didn't even want to go near the church door, much less go in the door. But I had to learn through my own life and my own life experiences that that was the place I needed to be. And you've got to make up in your mind where you want to be and how you want to live. I can't make it up for you. I can just tell you some things, teach you some things, but it's on you to follow through. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Thyself. Not somebody else, but thyself. You got to study to show your own self approved. And when you study the Word of God, I'll guarantee you that every time you reread a scripture, you're going to find a little bit different in its meaning to you each and every time you read it. You know how when you go over a scripture and you sometimes say, I didn't see that before when I read that? Okay. You're going to have to learn to be obedient to God's word. And you're going to, most of all, you're going to understand that there is no generic God, but the God we serve is real. You can't serve a portion of Christ and then say, that's all I'm going to serve. You've got to serve the whole God, the true and living God, by being obedient to his will. When I consider the shape that this world is in, and you know I often talk about it, when I consider the shape that this world is in, we need Jesus. Whether you're driving, walking, or pushing a go-kart, we're going to need him. We need him. And the only way that we can get him is through being faithful through to his word and being obedient to his commands. You know that beautiful, shiny car that you have? The one that you and the finance company own? You got that because of God. You got those new tires that are on that car because of God. You got that because God is good to us. And I know what you say, I work every day, I pay for my own car. Where do you think you got the job from? Where do you think you got the money from? So there's something about serving a just God, a true and living God. God is real, church. And you may as well make up your mind about it. And if you're not serving him, you ought to start serving him. You ought to start serving him because there is no other than that one true and living God. Oh yes, they crucified him. He died. But he yet lives. When he was taken off the cross and placed in the tomb, God was a dead God. But when he was resurrected, he came out of the tomb. He was a living God. He was the living God. And he's sitting on the right hand of his Father right now. Looking down upon us, doing work for us. Because he intercedes for us. So between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we've got the Godhead looking out for us. If we just serve him. We must learn to serve him. And oh, don't think that you're smarter than God. You're not. Einstein was a genius, but he wasn't smarter than God. Howard Hughes made millions of dollars, but he couldn't outsmart God. He thought he could live forever, but he didn't. All of those people in the book of Genesis probably thought they would never die, some of them maybe. They lived, some of them, for over 900 years. But they still, at the end of the text, it says, and he died. We're all going to die. We may as well get used to it, and we may as well learn to serve the true and living God, because we're going to need him, because he's the only person that gives us hope. He can go all the way to the grave with us. He can go down in the grave with us. You know, when they let that casket down and for the final burial, they let the casket down into the ground. Well, God can go in that casket with us. Jesus can get in that casket with us. Because he is the living God. He is the true God. And somebody might say, well, I'd like to be a part of that. How do I become a part of that? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already made those steps, but you've fallen short somewhere, you go to God, ask him for forgiveness, ask the church to pray for him with you that you might gather strength. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.